Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Worst idea of all time. It's the worst idea of all time. It's the worst idea of all time. Season 2.
Ladies and gents, welcome to the worst idea of all time.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to be Rickard.
Rickard. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the worst idea of all time from Denmark.
This is episode numero
7. My name's Guy Montgomery.
My name is Tim Batt.
And we're joined by the delightful Jen Fricker.
Yay! Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Jen is an amazing comedian from here in Australia.
Sydney, Australia.
And she's just watched the movie. Jen, yeah. You're a Sex and the City fan. Jen, did you love it? Did you have a good time?
I had a terrible time.
Tell me why.
Okay. Well, I like... I'm a genuine fan of the TV series. I watched a bit of the Carrie Diaries, which is like about Carrie's early years in the early 80s.
Was it
in
good?
It I heard it was right. Good. It was fine.
Yeah.
And sorry, I'm real sick too.
Don't worry about it.
This film just dismantled the beautiful legacy of the TV series.
I think, is it fair to argue that if you're a true fan of the TV show, you would sort of mentally cull this from that legacy, and you're like, this is just a separate money-making entity. It's not part of what I loved.
I don't know, because I rewatched the entire series like very recently, and I was like, fell in love all over again.
Yeah,
as you do. And then I was like, a bit when we sat down this morning, I was like, oh, I'm like, this is fresh in my mind. I'm really excited about this.
You're pumped up. You're positively excited.
Yeah, and then oh man,
yeah,
the noises I made during that.
Yeah,
I made those before.
There's like a real
disappointment in the extreme.
It hurts. It hurts. And I was saying this before we were watching it, how like the TV show is great because it was like at the time it was just so like the fashion was so like amazing and whimsical and ostentatious and the characters were so real and so edgy. But then like they just held on to it in the most cynical, awful way. So now all the fashion in this film is like too much and too ostentatious, and they're like, that's what you want, you little grubs. You want crazy hats? I gave you crazy hats. And then they're like, oh, you want Samantha to be real aggressive and gross? Here you go. This is what you want, you little grubs.
Yeah. And
give us your money.
This is what you love, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want Miranda spouting facts. Here you go, you little plebs.
Exactly.
What do you want? Charlotte just being a fucking nuisance all the time. Coming right up.
Yeah. We're just looking at a portrait of four women in their 40s just disintegrating.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's grim.
It's so grim.
And it's long.
And it's cynical and it hurts on a deep level, and it makes me so upset. And it just, like, why would you do this amazing, beautiful thing that you spent so long creating?
I do it for the money, baby.
For the money.
You don't have to be 100% accurate on this, because I know your memory's a bit sketchy, but you were telling me before, like, the movie almost didn't happen. Like,
oh,
they had
to
really force the gals to get back together at the end of doing... Because what happened with the first movie? Were they all on board for that? Or did they even think that was a bad idea?
I think it was, like, tense.
Right.
But then between the first and second movie, apparently, they were like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah.
I like, because Sarah Jessica Parker got paid way more than everyone else.
Yeah.
But she was like an executive producer on the first movie. So she was like, well, that's why. But also executive producer is like more of a, like a figurehead.
But
kind
The other weird thing with this one is obviously none of the cast or crew, anyone had seen the script until the day they started shooting.
Michael
obviously was in the basement with
he was in the basement with the studio just so they go, throwing bottles of whiskey the director and cigars
was,
down.
Well, the director is Michael, but the EPs were throwing bottles of whiskey against it. Michael, come out here. We need the movie now. We've booked everything. And Michael, he came out as sort of just red-faced, ruddied and drunk and going, it's not ready. It's not ready.
Yeah. But they didn't care.
Yeah, they went ahead and made it.
Mm.
And I do feel like parts of it do feel a bit rushed for mine, a bit forced. We did come up with an exciting thread to make the movie immensely more watchable today.
I had such a bit of time watching it today just because of this thread, as long as it carried through. The last hour of the film, it's like there's nothing you can do. There's no life rafts left. The Titanic's going down and you're going with it. It's horrible. But we kind of reverse engineered this narrative based on the one throwaway line that Big says in the movie where he says the market dropped by 100 points.
It starts when he's on the couch reading the newspaper and he's looking at the market and like there's just little graphs.
Oh yeah, but that line is the thing that kind of triggered the whole
thing. But then today, like this happens earlier in the movie. Yeah. So we noticed that in a previous episode or whatever, but today, he's reading the newspaper and the markets aren't going well for Mr. Big. And it turns out he's made a few shady investments. He's got a lot of people knocking on his door for a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this ship's going down.
He got caught up in all the shenanigans.
The subprime mortgage crisis.
That was him.
That was him.
He was instrumental to it. And there's a lot of clues to suggest that we've really stumbled onto a secret narrative, a little B plot that's happening throughout the movie. Like that confusing fact that when he's at his office, there's no computer there. Most likely because the Security and Exchange Commission have gone in and stolen it.
Repossessed this
computer. They've grabbed it to get evidence, and he's now working with them in a plea bargain. So he can't tell anyone that he has to just go to work pretending like he's doing his job so that he doesn't rouse suspicion, but he's going to rat on all of them to avoid jail time.
He and Carrie get married, even though he's famously never wanted to get married again, because you can't testify against your spouse.
Yes. You know too much. I have to marry you. There's other stuff. There's like, so he's sort of trying to obviously keep his professional career together, or just try and keep a handle a lid on everything. But then also there's obviously the marriage problems he's facing with Carrie. Like she keeps wanting to go out for meals, and he doesn't want to explain to her that they've spent themselves dry. They're deep in the red. So he's foraging through rubbish bins, bringing back like takeout noodle express boxes that he's filled up with everyone else's leftovers. It certainly makes for a slightly more engaging watch.
It's surprising that how long makes it holds water. Oh, yeah.
When she buys him that vintage Rolex.
Yeah.
And you're just reading, thinking about him, thinking about all the money they don't have.
Yeah, how much
she
cost.
Spent.
And then even more when he flips it and sees it's engraved. Yeah. And he loses, he's like, the resale value is just through the floor.
Another thing that we keep bringing up during watching the movie, but we never have talked about, is the fact that the crying baby is, maybe we did talk about it, I don't know. The crying baby that is one
Charlotte's youngest child.
Little accessory children.
Accessory children.
Well, she's got a full-time nanny. She is checked out of any parenting responsibilities, and she doesn't have the biological bond of having had them because she adopted them, which I think is a great thing to do. But it's like, well, what the fuck are you up to?
She essentially,
to be fair to Charlotte, she has lived her life getting everything she ever wanted. So it is very difficult for
her. She essentially adopted her children as a conversational point.
Yeah.
All she does is complain about having children.
They're a handbag. They're a handbag to her.
Mm.
It's disgusting. But
the younger actor who plays
crying Rose. The whole movie. Very convincingly crying.
Real swollen eyes.
Yeah, it's like there is something wrong with the kid, and Guy and I feel like the most likely thing is the cast and crew are just giving that baby hell through the shoot, yelling in its face.
The brief was, you can't obviously touch the child.
That's illegal.
But it is totally legal to yell obscenities and sort of comment in
the
child's
face. You're a fucking little asshole. You're a piece of shit.
You're a talentless hack, baby. And obviously babies can't completely absorb the gravity of what was being said, but they can absorb like the emotion.
They pick up on vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do. That's why I think Charlotte's children are going to grow up to be messes. Because she's so tightly wound and tense and stresses out about everything. Kids pick up on that, and it wreaks havoc with them.
Yeah.
They become emotionally unstable.
Yeah. Those kids, every time she goes into the cupboard, because she needs to cry.
Yeah.
like now they're going to have like a real kind of long-term thing with cupboards. Pantries and maybe it'll be like one of them will be like die of like an autoerotic asphyxiation in a kitchen cupboard. Just like surrounded by smushed just half-baked cupcakes everywhere and a bottle of Valium. And then
Jesus. It's almost like
that's how this fucking film has made me feel.
It's almost like a
writing fan fiction for the children of the movie. Just
yeah. Then. And then their mother is Sylvia Plath, except without having created anything of value whatsoever.
60 rejected cupcakes.
Yep.
Good God. It's so long.
What did you feel today, Tim?
I really like that big storyline that we had going through. It's funny how much it does stack up. You just like every time you see his face and stuff, you can jam that storyline into his reactions of what's happening. It just makes it more interesting. The thing that it was little things that I guess I'd glossed over in previous watches because they came near the end of the film. But the scene where they Samantha flips her shit and starts telling all of the Muslim men to bite her when she drops her condoms and is just like basically naked on the streets of Abu Dhabi, a very conservative neighborhood.
When the feminist message is being shouted loudest.
Ugh.
Yeah, supposedly. And the women who are in there in burqas and then revealed to be wearing a new range Louis Vuitton, like couture, just catalogue, all of them. And it's just like the messaging of that is fucking lunacy. It's just the cultural imperialism of this movie is disgusting to me. That, like,
it's real, like, white girl back of Cosmo feminism. It's awful. And it's so bad.
They don't understand that different cultures could have different but equal values. Mm. Like, that doesn't. No, it's not a consideration. It's like, you're not American, so you're worse than us.
There's that line where they're looking at the women wearing their veils, and one of them has one over their mouth, and I think Carrie's like, it's almost like the men don't want them to speak.
Yeah.
And there's this whole kind of vague, half-cooked line about how men are really threatened by women with strong voices.
But also trying to tie a political message into like Islam and the problems that it has.
Yeah, who's better to like pontificate on Islam than four white, incredibly rich women who have not left their hotel yet?
This is the issue that James Acaster had with the film as well. He was like, the messages that they the conversations they sort of begin to mumble are somewhat valid, but the people who are mumbling them are like literally at the bottom of the list of people who should be starting those or having those conversations.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to say because then you sound like a fucking piece of shit. Because you're like, oh, you know, anyone should be able to
make
a feminist message. Or
this is like the problem with modern feminism. Let's get into it, blokes.
Yeah.
There's like a difference between like feminism and intersectional feminism. And
what's intersectional feminism?
Exactly, right? Intersectional feminism is a school of thought, which is basically like your feminism does not look the same to every woman in the world, right? So it is this idea of like cultural imperialism in feminism where like Western feminists, generally women in America, and
Carrie and the gals
go to other countries and go, oh poor women, they don't have the same things we do, so they must have poorer lives for it, and they must be oppressed. Where it's like they don't understand like the culture whatsoever, like it's just completely from a white imperialist
view. That's why they've thrown in that wonderful Miranda character. and we've talked about this before as well, where she winds up being the most offensive of all of them in the movie because it's her job to spout half-baked facts to try and qualify everything for the movie going public and her moronic holiday friends.
She only just stops short of saying what the chief export for Abu Dhabi is. It's like she's just opened the first page on a Lonely Planet guide for Abu Dhabi.
She's
and
just got
reading shit.
She's got the United Arab Emirates wiki page on her BlackBerry walking around the whole time.
The script is really bad. The writing in this movie is terrible.
So charmless. And that's the other thing about the TV show. Like, at least, like, Carrie's voiceovers in the TV show are really clunky and gross, right? But at least, like, there was, they're very distinctive. You know what I mean? It's like, will I ever find love in New York?
Because that's
or will I be forever a single, like, I don't know, like a single reservation?
They're supposed to do. They're supposed to give you an insight that you can't see normally behind the camera. It's like the same thing when Kevin Spacey faces the camera and gives you the little monologues
and
a little wink at the camera.
Whereas, like,
House of Cards.
That trademark of like the TV series, they're like, we'll just have her say it in the same voice. But we won't
Michael didn't get time to write it in the script, and so they just got Carrie to ad lib it like in post audio, and all she did was just describe what's happening on the screen.
One of them is, she says, she's talking to Big on the phone about she wants to lock herself in a room so all she thinks about is writing. And her voiceover line is, and all I did think about was writing until I got hungry.
Cut. To a cafe.
And then she was like, so I called up the gals and organized a lunch or something, like, you know, words to that effect. And it's just like, why? Cut to the lunch. Like, it's so unnecessary.
We bought 2 hours and 26 minutes worth of screen time, and by Jove, we're going to use every single one of them.
Do you know what I also think about when I was watching that film? You know when they're always, you know how like TV is like the central thing, and then they're watching ads?
Yeah.
Like all those people, all those brands that were featuring those ads would have played a shit ton.
Except Amnesty International, which I still maintain the sound guy, the like audio editor at the end, shoehorned it in just to rescue a piece of his soul for working on the food. He's like, I will do this one thing for humanity.
Yeah.
I will put in 1 second of audio that says the words Amnesty International in an ad break in this otherwise soulless, horrible shit.
Okay. Look, I feel like we're climbing down a very dark well here.
It's gone real grim real quickly.
In an effort to lift spirits and maybe generate a bit of positive discussion around the film, we have a segment called The Shining Light, Jen, in which we all say the one part of the movie, or, you know, you might have enjoyed more than one part, but the part that you enjoyed the most.
Okay.
So I'll get things started. At the wedding, when Liza Minnelli comes out and that big reveal, that big wonderful reveal that by the end of the movie you can barely fucking remember happened, but you feel like you had a weird sort of really hot fevered dream. She comes out and there's the two featured extras in the background of the main row. There's Pink Jacket, who just spends the whole time acting up a storm. Fucking bloody Jamie Oliver in the kitchen, that guy with acting. You know, he's just relentless. Then there's another guy right next to him.
No extra left behind.
That's right. No extra left behind, as you so wisely posited. Then there's another guy, and when Liza Minnelli comes out sitting next to him, he does like, he puts his hands together in a prayer formation and looks up on high like, thank you, base God, for Liza Minnelli being at this wedding. I just thought it was a lovely little moment. Yeah, it was good from the extra. I mean, it was a strong offer, and he probably did it in the hopes that maybe someone on the 7th or 8th watch of the film might catch on it.
And guess what, buddy?
I see you, buddy. I see you out there.
He out here.
Got it.
Okay.
Mine is, it's interesting because we've talked about it before, but not in the context of The Shining Light, but does anyone know the name of the British actor who plays the hotel manager?
Oh.
He's famous. I don't know his name.
Apparently he was a famous comedian.
Yeah.
He still is a person, I assume.
We should know. Anyway.
We don't have to know.
So when... who is it who says... Because he says, how was your flight? And Carrie says, it was like a magic carpet ride. And he says, how charming.
Samantha says it was like a magic carpet ride.
That's right. And he says, how charming. Which we've always thought was thinly veiled, like... How that's charmingly racist.
Yeah.
But like, his delivery of that line is incredibly warm. He is a very good hotel manager.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming into his dojo spitting some pretty questionable shit, and it doesn't faze him. Water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Because
he goes on and does it again, doesn't he? When Samantha, there's the rugby teams there, and Samantha says, Did they bring their balls?
Yeah.
And the hotel manager says,
yes, they have many balls.
They have many balls. Just like not entertaining her shitty double entendre. Just
but he does it with a smile as well. It's not like he's like, yeah, they've got a lot of balls.
He is.
Yeah.
He's firm and he's cordial, but he's firm and fair as well. Because later on, when he's dealing with the bloody sexcapades of Samantha Jones.
Sexcapades? I haven't heard that word since like 1998.
Jen loves portmanteaus. Little known fact about Jen.
Yeah, Jen threw up all over herself and asked when they said interfrention on the movie.
Yeah.
She
actually
started projectile vomiting.
Interfrention, more like interfunction. And then I threw myself out the window.
That's right. And then you climbed back up the stairs with a broken leg and said, "I'm really sorry. I don't know what just happened.
I really want to make it through to the podcast."
What was your shining light, Jen?
Well, I liked the swans at the wedding. I thought that was.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb.
your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Very tasteful, but extravagant at the same time. I'd really like, actually, as awful as that scene was, I really like the scene where Carrie and the other ladies are judging all the women in a true feminist sense, because that's what women do, they judge each other. And there's like one lady and she's wearing a real nice like embroidered veil and just having a sick day by herself.
Yeah.
That's the best. Just like, and she's really feeling herself. Like she's just like, I got real nice like sunglasses on.
She's at the pool.
And I'm at a pool. I've got a drink and I'm just talking to my friend on the phone and no one's going to like fuck with my day, right? And then these dumb bitches across the pool are just like,
I love this.
Oh, she's having a terrible time. Oh, look at her. And she's like having the sickest day ever.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that is a wonderful shining light.
That's the outdoor equivalent of going to a movie by yourself, which I love to do.
Me too. People are so judgy about that. It's like, I don't have to do anything. I just sit here. I don't have to talk to anyone.
And just like take it, just drink it in.
Yeah. And I drink by myself at the cinema. That's so good.
Do you?
Yeah.
I drink a lot.
Yeah, and it's fun. I'm having a really good time.
I'm drinking a liter of Jim Beam.
Washing off like 2-3 bottles of red wine. Just watching a movie by myself. Just having a think about it.
Because I'm a strong, independent person.
I'm feeling myself.
Just feeling myself up in the cinema. Jenny, you masturbating in movies now? Is that?
It's like a peep show. It's not so much a cinema. I know, it's cool. The tickets are like $2. It's awesome.
You can go in whenever you want. It's 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. Own, there's always Clorox. A session. That's the best part.
Okay, another thing we like to do when we have guests on, Jen, is a pitch. Mm-hmm. Wherein Tim and I are two very wealthy executive producers looking for a movie opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And you have penned this wonderful sequel to the Sex and the City movie.
Okay.
So you come into the office and
just want to say, Guy, you've got a really lovely voice. I don't usually wear headphones when we're recording, but I am today and you sound real good.
So like all the Australians of the festival are just walking around doing Guy Montgomery's voice when he's not around.
They should.
Yeah. And we just walk into rooms and be like, Guy Montgomery.
That's not how I talk.
How I talk.
Was it a fighter pilot or something?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the nicest thing anyone said. Anyway. We don't have time for this. We're very busy executive producers. We've got a lot of meetings today.
Hey, indulge cleared... me, Guy. You've got a wonderful voice. And you're a fighter pilot. Now.
Thank you. I know. I've got another job as a fighter pilot. But, you know, I've got my executive producer hat on right now.
Okay. All right.
And we've only got 5 minutes. We've cleared our schedule.
All right.
Please come into our office and tell us about this movie.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so much for having me here at your executive partnership firm. Hollywood showbiz.
Do you like our office?
I love the swans that you've got in the corner. Very tasteful but extravagant.
Do you like the tiger skin on the wall?
I like the tiger skin on the wall. I like the tiger skin. I mean, I find yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Because it's still alive. Like that's heinous.
That was a decision we made. I know. Stand by it.
But I applaud your strong decision making skills, gentlemen.
Shut up,
gentlemen. Today I bring you the idea of a lifetime. Have you ever thought, man, movies, not long enough?
I have had this thought.
Yeah. You're thinking, oh, I wish I could waste a day on a film. Have you had this thought before, gentlemen?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course you have had this thought, right?
Yeah. Because I've got a shitty family.
Exactly. You got problems
you
at
hate,
home.
Yeah, you hate your family.
Big time.
This guy comes in every morning going on about his family.
What if I could tell you, four women, all over the age of 40, mm-hmm. one's a bit older than the rest of them, but real mouthy. Anyway.
The older one's mouthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, so this appeals to me.
You've got a very thick Kiwi accent for a Brooklynite.
Yeah. Yeah, I got, you know, I'm Italian. I'm Jewish-Italian, but...
You got your English lessons from a New Zealand recording.
That's precisely it. That's where I was. I'm so hungover. Please continue.
It's very unprofessional of you to bring this up in a business meeting.
Have you heard of the much-beloved series Sex and the City?
I am familiar with the series.
It was truly a groundbreaking TV series of its time, and many people see it as the benchmark for women's voices in popular culture. How about we just dismantle that whole motherfucking thing?
Oh.
What exactly are you saying?
What do you mean, dismantle it?
We take everything that's charming and beautiful and unique about the TV series, everything that like really meant something to people, and we just burn that fucker down.
Well,
Abu Dhabi.
Oh, I like the very destructive streak that you're bringing to this pitch. But
I
what
also
I'm wondering,
smell some pretty delicious tax avoidance by taking it offshore.
Exactly.
But what I'm wondering,
have you ever been to the mysterious east?
No.
Do you mean the Orient? Flying carpets, I assume, and genies
exactly.
stuck in lamps.
And loose rubies. Lots of loose jewels, I imagine.
Loose jewels.
But what I'm worried about is who's going to pay to see this movie?
Why, my good friends at the New Middle East.
But so we're making this movie explicitly for people in the Middle East to watch.
It's a movie, but it's also an ad, you know? A 2.5-hour ad filled with the people you never want to meet.
Okay.
And things that you used to love, but you can't anymore because of this film.
Is everything okay in your home life?
I'm having a bad day, you guys. This tiger just struggling,
yeah,
struggling to hold on to its life in front of me.
It is off-putting,
really,
isn't it?
It's really upsetting.
We should get
it's
that
really
down.
It's really grim. It's made me feel...
Mess, I'm going to let you into why we've got the tiger there.
Yeah.
It is to throw people.
Yeah.
It's a test.
Well, thank you.
I mean, and you've handled it admirably so far, but it is really smelly today.
Have I brought this real dark... Like, let's, like, start, like...
Are we, a scene?
Yeah, scene.
Okay, the movie gets made.
Yeah.
Well done. Congratulations.
Was that too... I feel like I was real, like, psyched about seeing this film, and then it's really upset me on a fundamental level, and I feel like I'm throwing a lot of, like,
you're in the
angry,
right,
manic
you're in the right
energy
space
at
for this conversation.
And I really feel like I'm sorry, because you guys are so lovely and upbeat.
Jen?
Yes?
I've never heard us described as such.
Lovely and upbeat? You're wearing a yellow shirt.
The importance...
I do what I can.
Of the important component to what we're doing here at the Worst Idea of All Time Industries is truth. Whatever you are feeling needs to come through that microphone.
It just means so much to me, this TV series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's upsetting.
It's so upsetting.
Don't your heroes always let you down?
They really do.
I'm not like intimately... familiar with all the storylines and everything. I didn't watch every episode, but I'm aware of the importance of it as a TV show.
Can I tell you like a real truthful thing? Get real with you.
Yeah.
So like last summer I had like a bunch of real like messed up, like, oh, I just had all these like medical problems and whatever, right? And it meant that I couldn't leave my bed. So I rewatched like all of Sex and the City, and my friends would come around, and there was an episode where they talk about like soulmates and how like it's hard to find soulmates. In like men of the opposite sex, and then they come to the men of the opposite sex as opposed to men of the same sex.
Anyway. You're good.
And so there's an episode where at the end they all go, well, your friends are your soulmates. And it was really meaningful to me because like this whole time I'd just been in my room, but my friends would come over every day and we'd watch this show. And it was like a really beautiful thing to be like, oh, like we're not alone and our family are the people that we choose to surround ourselves with. And what a beautiful sentiment. And then I watched that fucking film. And how like, fuck, I'm so upset.
This is, so this is like someone has wronged
this
you.
This is bigger than.
This has hit me so fundamentally.
Mm.
I'm really upset.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm almost relieved not to be a fan of the show because every week watching this movie would be just burning ourselves.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was so excited this morning.
So did you watch this movie in the cinema?
I did watch it in the cinema.
And what did you make of it then?
Were
you as upset as you are now?
No, because I don't think I had watched as much of Sex and the City.
Okay.
As, like, I just went, I think I saw it in the cinema because I was like, I've, I have an hour and a half to kill and 3 bottles of red wine. I'll go to the cinema by myself.
Never messy.
Yeah, and, yeah.
Well, you would have been an hour late for whichever appointment you had.
Yeah, that's true. But I was drinking a lot back then.
I was hammered and satisfied. Yeah. To be honest, I didn't see a lot of the film.
Saw a lot of myself.
Let's try and chuck some levity in the old potty, the sep, for our second of two segments, which is called...
What's he doing? Where's he off to?
Hey, yes!
First time's a charm.
Nailed it. We keep getting the name wrong.
You guys did that so well.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
I like that little... I like where that little introductory pat is going as well. I can imagine we'll get a good build-up on by the...
We could be getting into
Petty episode 40.
Territory.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually. Quickly, just as an aside before we get into the segment, Tim posited an absolutely terrifying thing today.
What?
Which was, what if Patrick Schwarzenegger does something really big and awful, like kills a human being?
Yeah.
And then we've got his face tattooed on our body.
Yeah, because we kind of got the tattoos in a flurry. Did I show you that? I showed you the tattoos yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got the tattoos in kind of a flurry of like, oh, we're in Los Angeles. And
there are no consequences.
Indiegogo campaign.
What happens in Los Angeles stays in Los Angeles. Tattoos stay with you.
What a lot of fun we're having. But now it's like Patrick Schwarzenegger's on my body forever, presumably.
If you are listening, Patty, big shout out to yourself. And I hope that you and Miley can work through whatever problems you've created with your party boy lifestyle.
I mean, us talking about him on a podcast is one thing, but getting the image of someone tattooed to your body is quite another.
Yeah.
And Patty's, he's a loose dude.
He's always been a bit of a role model figure for you, though.
And he's very young as well. Like, there are a lot of years for him to fill up with terrible things.
You've always looked up to him as a sort of father figure, though, too.
Well, he is my father.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
It's a very confusing thing that we'll discuss in a later podcast.
We don't have time to get through the logistics of it now. But the thing about getting your dad tattooed to you is, what if he goes on to do bad dad things?
Yeah.
Not all dads are rad.
No, he could be a bad dad. He could be a sad dad. He could be a mad dad.
Dr. Seuss's. Let's do the segment. Jen, you can front with this one as well. We pointed it out to you, the featured extra in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
A real joy to watch.
A pleasure.
What on God's green earth would possess a man to neck that much caffeine and go bounding out the door into the day?
Well, I like... Okay, so he like has like a huge gulp, and then he looks like he's about to go, but then he stops. Then he has a huge gulp again. Then he looks like he's about to go. Then he stops. Does he read the newspaper at one point?
He just grabs it.
He just has a mug, and he's just necking what I assume is black coffee, right?
Yeah.
I like to think that it's three separate coffees that have been dropped off on his table in
separate mugs. Wow.
But this isn't your turn.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is gross.
Great, I'm interested.
He's real backed up.
Oh.
And so he's just all day, he's been on this coffee diet, and it's like...
DIY laxative.
Yeah, and he's waiting for like the time to tick over to 1 a.m. so he can run to the bathroom, but he's got to ingest like X amount of liters of coffee before he does it.
And so do you think that it's reached critical mass and this guy's got to get to...
So he's going like, oh, I've got 30 seconds before I'm allowed to take a shit. I've got to drink... a liter and a half of coffee in a minute.
We imagine there's a pretty explosive situation on our hands here.
Leave it to an Aussie comic to throw a bloody open segment at them and then to turn it into a bloody poo joke, eh?
I like it. I think it's plausible. It holds a lot of water for me. I'm a fan. Now, you said that we were doing... Did you say we had another segment just before?
No, I just said that that's the second of two.
The first
being the shining light.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was very confused.
What?
I feel like we're both quite... I'm pretty hungover.
You are devastatingly hungover. You halfway through last night were convinced you'd acquired a concussion.
I had one.
Yeah, but then...
I definitely had a concussion.
You advised us all of what the medical treatment should be for your concussion, which was let you go and drink more.
Yeah, because, well, my rationale being, you're not supposed to let people who have a concussion go to sleep. And I was like, the only way I'm going to stay awake is stay partying. So I've got to keep pouring liquor down my throat. That makes sense to everyone, right?
We were all very drunk, so I guess it did.
You're a national treasure, Tim.
Thanks, Guy. I don't think you believe that, but I'm going to take it.
I do believe that. Look, there's one line... I know we've kind of moved on from all being upset about how terribly offensive this movie is. One line in Carrie's voiceover really jarred out to me today, which was when they were in the desert having lunch, she says in voiceover, "It's amazing how much food and clothing four butlers can fit into four Maybachs." absolute insanity that can just slip through. Like, that the movie is so bloated and like inoffensive that this line can just slip through the cracks week in, week out.
Yeah.
That is a like compliment to their acting skills, that they can deliver all these crazy lines.
Yeah.
And not just like look at the camera with fear in their eyes.
I fully agree. And there's some moments where you do get a sense that things are headed that way.
Mm.
But by and large, they do a phenomenal job.
Yeah. To like quiet that awfulness in their soul that they must be feeling while they are in
You
this
know
film.
What? I honestly, I had this with watching Grown Ups 2 as well. I don't begrudge the actors.
No.
They're just earning, they're just getting that paper. The movie that they're doing it through is admittedly not.
Well, this movie, it's a little bit different because these characters have existed for so long, and I feel like the actors are so intimately tied to the characters.
Mm.
Grown Ups 2 is a throwaway franchise. It existed for one movie before the
two
second
movies.
One got...
And there's the third in the pipes.
Yeah, gotcha. But Sex and the City 2 was like a much critiqued, talked about,
Do you think the actors should show more respect to their fan base and maybe only work
this
on...
This is the thing about this film. Like, the first film, I feel like, was made for the fans. Like, they were like...
They were tying up loose ends.
Yeah, they were like, the fans want a movie. We'll give them a movie. We're going to get the girls back together. We'll get carried away again. And then
carried
this,
away?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's nice.
That
should have been the tagline.
I think it was the tagline.
Movie. Oh.
And then the second movie, they were like, well, we made a lot of money off that first movie.
Yeah.
Let's just do this for ourselves.
It's funny because... So you said we're going to make this one for the fans.
Yeah.
What did you say? You were like, do you want this? We'll give you this. Sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, you like this.
You want this?
Yeah.
We'll fucking give it to you. We'll throw it down your goddamn
Oh, you
throats.
Want crazy, you want crazy dresses? Guess what? Everyone's wearing a fucking crazy, even the women in the black veils, they're wearing crazy dresses underneath.
They're all expensive.
Yeah. Everyone is a fashion
That's
monster.
Another,
yeah, yeah.
It's another great bit of voiceover just before they reveal that they're wearing all of those, like, the new range Louis Vuitton or whatever in that tea shop. And Carrie's like, and right there in the 68,000 miles away in the heart of the Middle East was the most offensive part of our entire movie.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Let's go. Let's go do something fun, guys. Let's go bowling or something.
Yeah, what's a positive thing we can do
let's
today?
Let's go to the park. You know, like, let's enjoy outside.
It's a beautiful
outside.
Day. Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Criminal that we're in here.
Yeah.
That's right. If you are listening, there's still a few opportunities to get along. If you're in Melbourne or have friends in Melbourne, to get along to see a stand-up comedy show I'm doing with my friend Rose. It's called Rose Metaphone and Guy Montgomery Friends. We're having a lot of fun doing it, and we're losing just as much money as we are having fun, which is a lot. So get on down if you're into it. We've also got Jen, you're doing a show.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing my show Monster Pussy at 6 p.m. at the Portland Hotel in Melbourne until the end of Melbourne Comedy Festival. And then I'm also taking it to Perth Comedy Festival and Sydney Comedy Festival. So come
bloody
hang
beauty.
Out.
Hey, what's your Twitter handle, Jen?
It's Jen Fricker.
It should be bloody Jen.
How do you spell that,
Jen
though?
Fricker. Am I right?
Oh, mate.
It's
thank
with
you.
A G.
GenFricker.
Because I think a lot of people are going to follow you off the back of this.
Because I just loudly expressed my hatred for this film.
Professor social media over there.
But you are, yeah.
I decree that you shall have many new followers.
But you vocalized it so well.
I like got, someone bought me 7,000 Twitter followers the other night.
They bought you that? Like
yeah.
It was just funny watching your phone explode.
Yeah, we were just having a drink at the bar and then my phone blew up.
So like bots?
Yeah, and
like
I don't know
prank.
Who
it's
did
prank.
It.
Yeah, someone pranked it.
Funny. Someone pranked me and I don't know who it was.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
If you're out there, you're a funny motherfucker.
You're a hero.
Pranks are always funniest when you know people have spent a bit of money just for the giggle.
That would have cost someone $15, I reckon.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that lovely note of levity and positivity and jovial japery, we shall leave.
Don't watch the movie.
Thanks
Don't
for having
movie,
me.
Guys. Thank you, Jen.
Worst idea of all time. It's the worst idea of all time. It's the worst idea of all time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.